people that are eating a stick of butter, they're gaining weight.
We do not need to eat sticks of butter. The fat that we get from our meats is sufficient. New York strip, ribeye, lamb, bacon can be very easily overeaten. It is also very high in histamine.
This is also why we see so many people not lose weight on carnivore. This is going to be very controversial. It's so incredible that the power of food is medicine, right?
We have a member in our group, Stefan. He's lost 45 pounds. He is weighing less now than before when he had his children. And through carnivore, he has mental clarity that he has never experienced before. Higher fat, not high fat, is going to help you in so many ways. If I have my choice, I am going to choose the ruminant meats.
When I first started carnivore, I ate a lot of eggs, and I don't have cholesterol. I don't have heart disease. And I've been doing this for 7 years. I would say for anybody that is starting, it's really going to take you anywhere from 30 to 90 days. That's really like a transition period.
Let's get to the fun stuff now. The worst foods. We don't really eat these foods.
Sticks of butter.
Hot rendered fat.
Anything cured.
Dairy.
So Christina, what is the first best carnivore food that you eat every day?
Animal fats.
In this episode, the coaches and I are going to talk about the five best carnivore foods that we eat every day for weight loss and healing. But before we get into that, I just want to say a big thank you to all the people that have joined Go Carnivore. We have just launched a month ago and it's become the biggest carnivore community in just a month. We have so many free and paid features like new meal plans, fat loss challenges, and also weekly meetings with your favorite carnivore doctors like Dr. Anthony Chafee, Dr. Elizabeth Bride, and Dr. Kiltz. So if you'd like to join, there is a clickable link in the description of this video or just head to gocarnivore.com. Coaches, welcome.
Hi, Rena.
Hello, Rena.
Over the last 12 months, we have tried so many different carnivore trends. We've tried high-fat carnivore, high-protein carnivore, sardine fast, and within those trends, we have found the five best carnivore foods that has helped us lose weight and also heal all these different chronic diseases. So that's exactly what the coaches and I are going to talk about today. These best five foods that are not only going to help you heal on a carnivore diet, but also help you lose weight. And we're also going to explain why these foods are so great. So Christina, what is the first best carnivore food that you eat every day?
Animal fats.
So animal fats. So I was expecting you to say a stick of butter. So it's not a stick of butter, right?
Absolutely not. Not a stick of butter.
So when you say animal fat, can you explain what that means to the audience so that they understand what is animal fats and how that has helped you heal all your chronic diseases?
Yes. So the animal fats that we're talking about are the animal fats found in meats. So for example, New York strip, ribeye, okay, lamb, those are all fatty meats and they contain fat. So when you're eating those meats, you do not need to add any extra fat. There's no need to add additional butter because those meats already contain fat. When I was trying to heal my SIBO in 2017, I was diagnosed in 2015 with SIBO and I struggled terribly with digestive issues, IBS, leaky gut, and gut dysbiosis. So I was really searching for a way to heal my gut. And with that being said, I came across Dr. Sean Baker's book on the internet through my research. And I decided I was going to buy his book, The Carnivore Diet. I had no idea what the carnivore diet was about at the time. So I purchased his book and I literally read it from cover to cover. And I said, you know what? I think I'm going to give this lifestyle a try and see what happens. So that really started in 2017. That started my journey on the carnivore lifestyle. It took me a while to transition. So I would say for anybody that is starting, it's really going to take you anywhere from 30 to 90 days. That's really like a transition period. In the beginning, I really didn't feel my best because my body had to get used to eating this way. And in addition, I was having a hard time digesting the fats because my gut still wasn't healed at the time. So could you imagine adding additional like butter to a ribeye or a New York strip, right? That's really not going to be your best option. So I just ate the meat without the fats and slowly started to see that after really like the 90 days, it really took, I would say, a good 3 months for my body to start being able to digest those fats. Now, will I say that I didn't have any digestive issues in the beginning when I started carnivore? No, because I'd be lying. That's not true. I really did struggle, again, because my gut was trying to heal. So for those people that are new to this lifestyle, you really have to understand that it's going to take some time for your body to adjust to the meat and the fat that you're eating. But as time goes on, you will see that you don't need to be adding that stick of butter, that eating the meats that are in the fats is more than enough.
And it's so interesting, when I spent a month with Dr. Bright, she also said the same thing. I didn't mean eating one stick of butter. I just meant eating more fat. So it tends to be a 70-30 or 80-20 macro. So spending a month with her was incredible, and we don't have to eat a stick of butter a day. If you want the healing and also the weight loss, this is also why we see so many people not lose weight on carnivore.
Absolutely. A lot of people will stall and they don't understand why. And then when we're finding out, like in our meetings, oh, well, I'm adding copious amounts of, you know, fat to my meals. You really don't need that. If you're trying to lose weight, your body will take from the fat stores that you have on your body. You don't need to be adding additional fat.
Absolutely. And now, Linda, how has animal fat, copious amounts of animal fat, helped you heal?
Well, as you know, I'm an older woman, and older women go through a change of life, and it can be very uncomfortable. You could have hot flashes, you could have night sweats, you could have the irritability. And after doing much research, trying to heal this holistically without hormones, synthetic hormones, or added hormones, I thought, our ancestors did this. And they did this without seeing doctors, without getting medications. How did they do this? So my research led me down to do a higher fat carnivore diet. I did that, and within a few months, my issues resolved. It didn't happen overnight, such as Christina's story did not happen overnight, but it did happen. And I noticed along the way, by doing the higher fat, that I had less cravings. I had less addiction behaviors to deal with. Carnivore diet has allowed me to put to sleep addictions that I had, but you still had some cravings along the way. But the higher fat actually made those go away completely. Then it was more of an emotional event if I had cravings. I was overtired. I was having a disagreement with somebody, or there was just a lot of negativity around me. Higher fat, not high fat, higher fat is going to help you in so many ways. Eating the meat that has the fat in it, the fattier cuts, is optimal.
So when Linda is saying higher fat, and this is a term that I learned from Linda, because when we say high fat carnivore, it's easy to think, well, I just need to really increase my fat and perhaps lower my protein. But we don't mean that at all. It's higher fat than the fat that you were eating before. So for example, if you're eating over 100 grams of protein, you might want to eat the same amount in grams of fat, or even a little bit more. So it's higher than you were eating the amount of fat previously. So I hope that makes sense for people. So again, we're harboring on the fact that it's not adding in lots of butter, lots of ghee, lots of lard, because our ancestors didn't eat that way. They ate the meat and there's fat in the meat. So that is wonderful. That is the first food that we eat every single day. It's the fat in the meat, and that goes into the meat. So what is the next carnivore food that we eat every day, Linda?
Ruminant meats. If I have my choice, I am going to choose the ruminant meats. I am going to choose the beef. I'm going to choose the lamb, and I'm going to choose the venison. These are the types of meat that I feel my best. And not to say that we don't add extra meats whenever we feel like it, but just to say that they're the most nutrient dense. They're the ones that's going to serve your body optimally. They are the ones that have the one-to-one ratio of fat and protein more than the other cuts of meat, the monogastric. They are going to be less inflammatory. Overall, if I have my choice, that's what I choose.
That's what I choose as well. I love ruminant meats. And Christina, I know that you are a ruminant meat gal, right?
I am. Honestly, ruminant meats are just the best for my gut. I can just tell the difference. Not to say, like Linda said, you know, like that, I don't like variety. I do enjoy variety. I do occasionally like to have, you know, some chicken or some pork, but I can tell immediately how different I feel when I eat those meats because they are higher in omega-6s than omega-3s. So it makes a big difference.
So when you're eating things like chicken, pork, these tend to be higher in omega-6s, especially if you don't get the free-range organic options. But the great thing about ruminant meats is that even if you get the grain-fed, the cheapest one from Costco, you're still going to get so many more nutrients than you would in just getting standard chicken or pork. And I would even bet you to trial the difference between having some ruminant meat and having that a lot versus having chicken and pork and bacon and see the difference, because we've done a trial where we've just focused on ruminant meats and you can just see the incredible differences. Linda, what have you seen by our challenge in our Go Carnivore community? What have you seen by just focusing on ruminant meats? What changes in your body, what changes in your mental state have you seen?
So for January, which is World Carnivore Month, I decided to do the lion diet, but with coffee, of course. And by doing that, I noticed that the scale dropped a few pounds. And it wasn't body fat, it was inflammation. So by having just the ruminant meats, I reduced inflammation. By just having the ruminant meats, my hunger and satiety cues were much more in focus. I could tell when I was hungry versus when I was thirsty. I could tell when I've had enough. They are just more in focus. I don't know how to explain it so that if you haven't been through it, that you can understand it, but it's just there. I used to drink coffee throughout the day. By doing just ruminant meat, I've noticed that I can have 2 cups of coffee, but if I have that 3rd cup of coffee, my anxiety gets higher. It's harder to tell if you're hungry or if you're just anxious. So by just doing this for the month of January, 30 days, I had so many more benefits than what I realized. It has taken me 7 years to do this diet. I always thought it would be too restrictive, but in actuality, it's more freeing. I don't have to think about what I'm eating. I don't have to think about the different flavors, about the variety. I know exactly when I wake up in the morning, what I'm going to eat. It may vary on the amount, depending on my activity for the day, depending on my mental state of the day, what I have to do mentally or physically. It could alter the amount of food that you have. But as you know, we are no longer in January, and I have decided that I am going to stick to this way of eating. I'm not saying I'm going to do this forever, but for the immediate future, this is what I'm going to do because I feel so much better. I don't want to back up. I feel great this time. I'm not saying if the opportunity arises and are out in a social situation that I might not choose ruminant meats if there's something there to choose. But for now, this is what I am doing, and I don't plan to change it when I'm at home at all.
Me too, except I do have my fatty latte with a little bit of butter. I'd love to know for people out there, do you still have your coffee? Because we do, and we love our coffee, right, ladies?
I do.
Yes.
We love our coffee. So let's talk about people that are just starting carnivore. Should they just be eating ruminant meat if they're just starting?
In the beginning of starting carnivore, it is quite a different change from the Western diet, standard American diet, whatever you want to call that. In my opinion, if you are new to carnivore, you should just eat animal products, whatever they may be. They may be cheese, they may be dairy, they may be pork rinds, they may be carnivore bars, protein shakes. It is just a different way of living, and it's going to take some adjusting. The habits that you have had in the past are going to need to be changed. The type of foods that you need to buy are going to be changed. So if you need that variety or want that variety, if you want to add artificial sweeteners, just that transitioning period, I think it's okay. All of the carnivore foods that are available, all of the carnivore products that are available, until you reach that adaptation phase and get through it, include all of the food products from an animal. If it has a mother or if it came from an animal, it's good.
Absolutely. And that is also why we created the 5 levels of carnivore in our Go Carnivore community. Christina, would you like to explain what are the 5 levels of carnivore and how would it help people just starting, people that are intermediate, and somebody that's a pro like you guys?
Well, in the beginning, like Linda said, right, really the first level is just including, you know, everything in the beginning, any kind of meats, that's the period that you're transitioning. So if you want to eat chicken or you'd like to have some pork, you can use the ruminant meats. So really any kind of protein, as long as it's from an animal, is going to benefit you, right? Because you're just starting out. And then as you go through the levels, you're kind of taking out the sweeteners. So with every level, it becomes a little bit more restrictive. Let's just say that word for now. And then finally, like when you get to the last level, like Linda and I did for World Carnivore Month, you're really just focusing on ruminant meats, no sweeteners. You're eliminating dairy. That could be problematic for some people, especially if you have digestive issues. That is why I no longer eat dairy. And when I do have it on occasion, if I'm out like socially and I'll have a little piece of dairy, I can, the next day, I feel it right away. My body just feels different. It's as if I put something that was like an alien in my body, you know, something strange. And it's almost like my body recognizes that.
It's so incredible. I've also felt the same way. Being carnivore for 3.5 years, you see those small differences, you know, depending how long you guys have been carnivore for. But if it's for a month, you're not going to see that much of a difference if you take away dairy, if you take away artificial sweeteners. But over time, as people adapt to carnivore, through the years, you'll see differences and you can notice changes if you take out a little bit more of the sensitive foods. So that is the 5 levels of carnivore, and that's what we teach in our Go Carnivore community. And some of our members have had incredible results. Would you like to share one of those, Linda?
We have a member in our group, Stefan. He's lost 45 pounds. He's lost quite a few inches. He's went from a 3XL down to a large. He is weighing less now than before when he had his children. So as a young man, the lightest weight that he's ever been. We have Marvin in our community, and through carnivore, he has mental clarity that he has never experienced before. So proud of Marvin.
Absolutely. Every time that we see these members just change, and I'm sure that many people out there are changing on a carnivore lifestyle, it's so incredible that the power of food is medicine, right? So Christina, what is the next carnivore food that we eat every day?
So bone broth is a fantastic carnivore food to incorporate if you are just starting out as a carnivore, or even if you've been carnivore. for quite some time, like Linda and I have. I know we both make bone broth quite frequently, and that is because bone broth is so healing for the gut. And it also contains collagen, which is vital for skin rejuvenation, for strong bones, for our digestion, for our gut health, and for connective tissue health. Now, if you have a collagen deficiency, that can lead to osteoporosis. It could lead to premature aging of skin, and it can also lead to joint pain. I know for me, when I was trying to heal my gut from SIBO, I made collagen often. Bone broth. I made bone broth often. And with that being said, I realized that for people, and this is good for people that are new to carnivore, that are trying to heal their gut, if you have digestive issues or if you're coming from a place where you've had SIBO, and I know a member in our group has SIBO, and you know Jen is going through that right now, what's really important to know is you don't want to cook your bone broth for a long period of time, because that will increase the level of histamine. So instead, you want to make more of like a meat stock. And till this day, I will only cook my bone broth anywhere from 2 to 2.5 hours at most, in an Instapot, high pressure, and it comes out beautifully. So I really enjoy bone broth. Sometimes I enjoy it like in the morning, instead of having like coffee. I'll have a nice hot warm cup of bone broth. And I know Linda has it as well, like with her lunch, especially in the winter. It's just, it's great. You know, it has so many benefits. So I really encourage people to try bone broth. And it's cheap. And here's the thing, right? You're making bone broth, right? I usually take the fat that comes off the top. I don't mix it in to my bone broth. I take it and I separate it and put it into a container, right? And if I need it to cook with, I have now fat to cook with. And what's better than cooking with animal fat, right? So I'll use that for cooking. And then the meat you have for your meals. So it's like a 3-in-1.
So that's a thing. So what we spoke about, which was the animal fats, which you get from ruminant meat, where do you get bone broth from? You get it from meat and the carcasses and the bones from meat. So this is actually really cheap and really affordable, especially if you just buy a cow, half a cow, use that for your whole family. This is something that can be so sustainable for everyone, including family. So that's why we can do carnivore. It can be a lifelong thing that people can just thrive upon. So Linda, what is the next carnivore food that we eat every day?
Eggs. Eggs are so versatile. Eggs are so affordable. They are a 1-to-1 protein fat ratio. You can use the bone broth and the eggs to make egg drop soup. You can just use eggs as a filler. Eggs have selenium, which is so important in your body. I love eggs. I do miss them with doing the ruminant meats. And that's why I said I'm doing it now. I don't know if I'll do it forever because I do so like eggs.
I feel the same way. That's why, like with the carnivore levels, I can just get to level 4 because I still have eggs. So, and I still have butter in my fatty latte. So those two ladies, they're doing just the ruminant meats level 5. So they are incredible. But the eggs are such a superfood. I also love the egg yolks. You can even use the egg yolks as a hollandaise sauce. There's zeaxanthin in egg yolks, which is good for your eye health. Christina, how many eggs should we be eating every day? And does eggs cause heart attacks and heart disease?
Well, I will tell you this. When I first started carnivore, I ate a lot of eggs. And I don't have cholesterol. I don't have heart disease. I didn't have a heart attack. And I've been doing this for 7 years. So eggs, I would say in the beginning, I ate a lot of eggs. I probably ate like 5 to 6 eggs a day in the beginning because I used them as part of my meal. Like I felt like I needed something on the side, you know, and it was like a good side dish. So I would have like 2 eggs with, you know, my breakfast or two eggs with, you know, my dinner. So I would say in the beginning, I was eating like 4 or 5 eggs a day. I don't eat as many. Now I've realized in the beginning that I was very sensitive to egg whites. So for people that have gut issues, if you're trying to heal, I would definitely say stick with organic pasture-raised. That is optimal. If you can't afford that, then obviously use the conventional. But I would stick with also the egg yolk rather than the egg whites. So egg whites contain albumin, and albumin is what causes the digestive issues. If you are sensitive to egg whites, you might want, or chicken eggs, you might want to try duck eggs because they only have 2% in the egg whites rather than 12% of egg whites that chicken eggs have. So no, you're not going to die from a heart attack.
But that's the thing. Like, I get so many questions around, you know, how many eggs can I have a day, or why are you eating like 6 eggs? Is that good for our heart health? So I just thought it would be a great opportunity for you coaches that have been doing this lifestyle for 14 years collectively to see that you're thriving, your blood markers are fantastic, and that you're eating the ruminant meats, the egg yolks, all the fat, the animal fat in the meat. So that's why I wanted to ask, just for people out there just thinking, well, is egg yolk safe? So it is perfectly safe. Let's get to the last one. This is number 5, carnival food that we eat every day. What is that, Christina?
Seafood, especially salmon. So, I mean, salmon is like a power. To me, it's like a superfood. It is extremely high in omega-3s. So if you enjoy seafood and you want a little variety, for those people, I would say salmon. And you really should stick with wild caught over, you know, farm-raised. And that includes mackerel. Like mackerel is a great seafood, also high in omega-3s. Sardines, and we all have experienced the sardine challenge. So I wouldn't say you have to eat that many sardines, but occasionally if you enjoy sardines, I know sometimes I actually crave sardines. And then I know maybe my body just needs, you know, some of the nutrients. Yes. Yep. So I will have, you know, a can of sardines, you know, as part of my meal. But these seafood choices are really best if you are going to have seafood.
Seafood is great as an alternative. So if you're sick of ruminant meats, if you're sick of the bone broth, the eggs, you can lean on the seafood, lean on salmon, mackerel, you can lean on sardines if you dare to, just for some variation. I also wanted to ask, ladies, for people wondering, how much of this food should I be eating? Is there a guideline that we can give to people thinking, well, I want to lose weight, I want to heal, how much should I be eating?
I always refer them to their ideal body weight. Depending how tall you are is how much protein that you should have. The fat could be adjusted up or down to meet your needs, depending on what you are experiencing in your life at that time. Maybe more mental stress, maybe more physical stress. Maybe you have body fat that you want to get rid of, that sort of thing. So that can be adjusted. But your protein number always stays the same. So that's where we start our members at, is at your ideal body weight. Your ideal body weight is not what you think you should weigh, what you are weighing at the moment. It is the same for every female who's 5'6", the same for every male who is 6'6". That is where our starting point is at. In order to figure that out, Rena has posted that on our Go Carnivore app. You just put your metrics in there and it will give you a number. Then you could either Google or use a macro app such as Chronometer or MyFitnessPal or Carb Manager. and put your amount of meat that you're eating in that app, and it will tell you how much protein is in it and how much fat is in it. We recommend doing this, especially at the start of carnivore, until you're familiar with what your amount of protein looks like per day.
So it's not really tracking, but it's a little bit of tracking, maybe for a week. And it's just to ensure that you're eating enough protein. Because when you do that, the fat is in the protein, and boy, do you feel different and you feel amazing. So you don't have to be guessing around what you're thinking, like what I might be eating. Am I doing 1-to-1 protein to fat ratio or 2-to-1? If you think about your protein and then you eat fatty cuts of meat, that's going to sort everything out. Let's get to the fun stuff now, which is the worst foods. We don't really eat these foods, but if you want extra healing, if you want extra weight loss after the healing, we don't really eat these foods. What is the first one, Christina?
Sticks of butter. So we do not need to eat sticks of butter. The fat that we get from our meats is sufficient. You also have to be mindful that butter contains casein, which should be avoided if an individual is lactose intolerant, because it can cause bloating as well as digestive issues. And I will tell you, I did experience both of those when I decided to try, you know, the butter bites, and I experimented with a little bit more higher fat and, you know, used the butter. Yeah, so those two things weren't really pleasant for me. And now I just eliminated butter completely. I don't even buy butter. I don't use it. I just eat the meat and have the fat that's with my meat, and that's sufficient.
Let's just say that somebody does buy butter. How much should they be eating?
So I would say a tablespoon to 2 tablespoons. I mean, if you're cooking eggs, let's say, and you need, you know, the butter for eggs, 1 tablespoon to cook your butter in. If you're having a lean cut of meat, let's say like a piece of filet mignon that's very lean, or some venison, and you feel like you need a little bit of extra fat because those are 2 very lean meats, you can put 1 tablespoon, but you don't need a stick.
Good answer, Christina. Okay, Linda, what's the next one that we should not eat at all?
Hot rendered fat. I had to look to see how it was phrased. There was a craze going around about people putting lots of butter in their coffee, making the fatty lattes. This doesn't serve you well. You know, as Christina says, that's just adding a lot of fat to your diet. We should eat the fat as it comes in your meat. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have a fatty latte. I know some people enjoy that, such as I enjoy my coffee. But you might want to keep it down to putting a teaspoon of butter in your coffee. Having the extra hot fat is going to cause you some gastric problems as well. It's going to add calories. And I know a lot of people say calories don't matter, but they do if you overeat them and they're not serving your body. That is just the same thing as eating empty calories. It is going to cause you problems.
What about the fat? So when we cook meat and you have the leftover hot fat in the pan, do you think people should pour that fat on top of the meat and eat it?
Having that extra fat after you cook your burger in the pan, pouring it back on the fat, I don't think serves you well either. I think that eating the fat that comes in the meat cooked as well. If you are needing extra fat, eating fat that is in a solid form is going to serve you better than eating the hot melted fat.
Absolutely. If you eat the hot rendered fat, it can make you feel really nauseous, want to throw up. So I've experienced that. So I don't eat hot rendered fat. That the fat that's in the pan or lots of butter in my coffee, I'll have 1 teaspoon or maybe 2 teaspoons of butter in my coffee. And with the fat in the pan, I might save that for cooking later, but I don't add that on top, because we also have that question in our community, should I add back the fat because I want to hit my fat macros? And we say, no, don't worry about that. Just eat the meat. Okay, what is the next one, Christina, that the food that we should not be eating? This is the one that you said to me, definitely people should not be eating.
So I would have to say processed meats. And not to say like when you're first starting carnivore, right? Like Linda said in the beginning, right? That level one as well. You're transitioning. So if you're new to the lifestyle, you want the variety. And, you know, for some people, buying like the prosciutto or salami or pepperoni or the deli meats, you know, that might be convenient for them, right? If you're traveling, it's a convenient, more of a convenient food. But on a daily basis, you really don't want to consume too many of the processed meats. They're also very high in histamine, which again can be problematic with individuals who are histamine intolerant, like I was myself when I first started out with carnivore, and I was seeing a naturopath. So I would call it, I call it the itchies. I would lie in bed at night and I would just scratch, and I had no idea why. I thought I had dry skin, but that really wasn't the case. And then I found out that I had histamine intolerance, which is very common in individuals that suffer from SIBO. And because I had SIBO for 2 years and my numbers were so off the charts, I was so histamine sensitive that I quickly realized that processed meats are very high in histamine and they really should be avoided. So if you are one of those people, I would suggest sticking with the ruminant meats, sticking with the bone broth, only cooking your bone broth the 2 hours, 2.5 hours, and really avoiding the processed meats.
Absolutely. Maybe have some processed meats on the side every now and then, but not as an everyday occurrence. And this goes to the next one, Linda. Maybe something that shouldn't be an everyday occurrence. What's the next one?
For me, I do not incorporate dairy. Dairy can be inflammatory. Dairy has a sugar called lactose in it. So for me, who comes from an addictive background, if I put sugar in my background, it awakens some of the addictive behaviors, such as overeating the cheese. You know, it's comforting. It feels good. So I'll just keep eating it. If it's there, I'll keep nibbling at it. So for me, coming from the addictive background, if I don't put it in my mouth, it doesn't create those cravings that I have to deal with. Also, there is the caseomorphins that are in dairy, and that is what soothes your brain, but it also makes you want more. The lactose is what causes the inflammation. The caseomorphin is what triggers in your brain to want more. So for me, it's just better to stay away from it. That's an individual choice. Some people include dairy in their diet and they do just fine. Over time, I realized that it's not serving my body well.
And Christina, what is the last food? This is going to be very controversial. What's the last food that we maybe should avoid?
Bacon. So, yes, and I know a lot of people do beef, butter, bacon, and eggs, right? They'll tend to stick with that in the beginning or do it as like a challenge for 30 days. But bacon can be very easily overeaten. I know some people like to call it purse bacon and, you know, make a bunch of it and, you know, put it in a little baggie and take it with them. It's an easy food to travel with, but it's also a very easy food to overeat. It does have a one-to-one ratio of protein to fat. So that's why a lot of people kind of when coming to carnivore will incorporate that into their carnivore lifestyle. But bacon can also be inflammatory for some people like myself because it is also very high in histamine. So anything cured is going to be high in histamine. So if you are having histamine issues or digestive issues, I would say you might want to consider avoiding bacon.
So that is the worst foods that we maybe should be avoiding, but don't hate us. It's just for you to have more healing and weight loss. So focus on the foods that are the best. With the foods that aren't the greatest, have it sparingly or maybe on the side. Let's now get into some common questions that our community always asks us. So I'm thinking that you probably have the same question. So Christina, would you like to answer this one? This one, how do we handle sugar cravings on a carnivore diet?
Okay, so if you are experiencing sugar cravings, then you may want to increase your fat a little bit. I know like, when I was struggling with cravings in the beginning, I was eating a little bit extra fat, and that helped satisfy those cravings. You know, cravings will occur when your body is lacking some sort of nutrient. So you really want to make sure the foods that you're eating are nutrient dense and that you're eating to satiety.
Absolutely. Next one you can also answer as well, Christina. Why am I gaining weight on carnivore or experiencing a weight loss stall?
Okay, if you are gaining weight on carnivore, that could be a couple of reasons. One, you probably have some more healing to do. Okay. Also, you need to make sure that you are eating enough and that your body is not holding on to the stored fat. Okay. Some people on carnivore, when they first come to carnivore, they're like, I'm just not hungry. Okay. And what's going to happen is your body is going to feel like it's in starvation mode, right? When is the next time that I'm going to be fed? So you need to really make sure that you're eating enough. And in order to do that, if you're seeing some sort of stall, you might want to consider tracking your food for a week, just to make sure, like you said, you know, you're getting enough protein and, you know, you're hitting your protein macros, your fat macros. Now, not to say that you have to hit that fat macro, right? Because the fat should be considered a lever, okay? That is how we get our fuel instead of carbohydrates. So you just want to make sure that you're eating enough fat that your body is satiated.
What if I have no support on carnivore? What can I do?
Be a part of our community. So being a part of a community is so important when you are doing this kind of lifestyle. Linda and I remember when we first joined your community, like our community was so little. I saw you on YouTube and I was like, I think I need to join. I think I need support. I can't do this by myself. I don't want to be alone. And I think many people have that same feeling when you are coming to this lifestyle and, you know, you're telling people, oh, I'm just eating meat. You know, that's a little difficult when everybody else around you is eating cake, cookies, and everything in between. So you want to be around like-minded people to have that support when you need it, to ask a question if you have a question. I know with us, with the Go Carnivore app, you know, I love going on and seeing what people are saying and what they're sharing and, you know, answering any questions that they have. Linda and I didn't have that in the beginning, right? But we had you, Rena. So, you know, that was really important to us, right? I mean, I don't think I could have been carnivore for 7 years without having this kind of support. So be a part of a community.
I feel the same. I feel when I first met you ladies, because it was our community, I think it was it 2 years ago?
I think a little over 2 years ago, actually. Yeah.
Yes.
Wow, time flies. And it was just you. And it was just you two and myself. And now we have, I think like we have like over 50 or 60 people on each meeting. So it's just incredible how much the community can grow. Linda, a common question that we get is vitamin C on carnivore. How do we get vitamin C?
While being carnivore, You don't need the amount of vitamin C that you would need on a standard American diet. You get the vitamin C, however, that's naturally in the meat. You eat organ meats. Organ meats have a lot of vitamin C. You know, not everybody is keen on eating organ meats. When I have my meat processed, I have the organs ground up in the burger, so I'm sure to get the organ meats that I need. But there are supplements out there if you would like to. But I don't think anybody who's done carnivore for a long time has come down with scurvy. So there's adequate vitamin C in the meat. Just eat it the way it is. That will support you and not make you sick while you are being carnivore.
Next one is it okay to have seasonings and spices on my meat?
It is, if it doesn't bother your healing. Some people are very sensitive to seasonings and spices. Some people are not. If you are sensitive to oxalates, you might want to stay away from the peppers. You know, some ethnic foods carry a lot of high oxalate spices. And if you're sensitive to oxalates, you're going to want to stay away from it. For me, I use salt every day. I like salt. But the other seasonings, I kind of stay away from them. They don't make me feel optimal. Not that they bother me a tremendous amount, but every time that you put something in your diet that bothers you a little bit, if you do that several times a day, it's going to add up to a big difference at the end of the day.
So you mentioned that you love salt. Is there any limit on the amount of salt that you would use?
Depends. You know, on a carnivore diet, no, because you don't have the carbohydrates retaining the salt in your body. If you're eating a lot of carbohydrates, yeah, you might want to refrain from having lots of salt. But salt does not do any damage in the body. Often salt gets blamed for what the carbohydrates were doing on a standard American diet. I use salt. I use a lot of salt. It makes things taste good. I put salt in my coffee, just a dash, because the caffeine can deplete your sodium. And so if I put a few shakes in my coffee, I'm not going to deplete my sodium content.
And what are your thoughts about OMADs? One meal a day. Should we be having one meal a day?
OMADs for me was not an optimal thing. In order to eat the amount of protein that I need to eat per day to not lose muscle mass, that is an awful lot to eat at one time. It makes you very uncomfortable, and it does keep you full for quite a long time, but maybe not for the full 24 hours. So maybe at the 18-hour mark or the 20-hour mark, you start feeling hungry, and so then you're watching the clock. For me, raising my insulin twice a day, it seems to work out fine. My blood markers are good. My endurance is good. My workouts are good. Two meals a day is what works for me. I'm not saying that you shouldn't do one meal a day. I think for men, and I hate to sound sexist, but I think for men, it's easier for them to do one meal a day versus women. I think women need a little bit more fat. We have a little bit more complicated hormone system. And so having that twice a day to spread that fat out more evenly throughout the 24-hour period is a better choice.
And last question for you, what if you're on carnivore and you want something crunchy and you miss that crunch? What should they do?
Well, I've been in that situation before. There are carnivore crisps that you can purchase, or if you want to, you can make your own. And I do that a lot. I have a dehydrator and I slice it, I salt it, put it on the dehydrator. Also, another thing that works well for me is Redmond's has salt crystals. That is just a coarser ground salt. Put a little bit of that in your mouth and crunch on it. And that takes away a lot of times, if you have any craving, that salt will take away the craving and that crunch will give you the satisfaction that you are looking for.
Absolutely. Well, that was all the questions. So if people out there love you and love Coach Christina, where can we find you both?
We are both on the Go Carnivore app.
Absolutely. So I'm going to leave all the links for Coach Christina and Coach Linda in the description of this video, as well as the Go Carnivore app, which is the world's first carnivore app. It's got our community on there. We have carnivore doctors. We have recipes. We have our fat loss challenge that we're doing, the 5 levels of carnivore. There's so much stuff happening. So I'll leave that in the description of this video. But Linda and Coach Christina, thank you so much for your time, and I'm sure we're going to see you very soon. I hope you enjoyed this interview. Now you need to watch this video with Laura Spath. She'll teach you the right way to start the carnivore diet and some mistakes she made along the way.